scripture this morning is found in Hebrews 10. I'll be starting at 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Pastor Tim?
Well, good morning and happy Sabbath. It's great to see you all again. Good to see some familiar faces and some new faces. My name is Tim Taylor, and I am the Director of Outreach Ministries at your Oregon Conference here. So I have the privilege of helping and supporting our churches share the love of Jesus with others. And so I just love that. So yeah, it's great to be here. It's great to see you and to have the opportunity to share with you this morning. And so the focus of today is together in mission. And that's what I'll be sharing with you about. And so we're going to be looking at a few concepts today. We're going to be looking at the power of biblical community in mission. So there are a few different ideas in that title, the power of biblical community in mission, and thinking about together in mission. And so I want you to be thinking about these concepts. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. But I want to make sure you know that this weekend is a bit of a special weekend where all of your directors and leaders at the conference are traveling around to different areas and sharing this message of the importance of community and mission. And so this weekend, we're here in this greater area, and we're going to be meeting this afternoon at the Springfield Church. And for some of you, you might be thinking, that's a long ways. For other of you, maybe you like driving, or maybe that's not so long. But either way, I want you to know you're invited to come out this afternoon at the Springfield Church. And so many of us are preaching. Myself and the other directors and leaders from the conference are preaching and sharing in the different churches in the whole greater area. And then we're all coming together for a time of worship and fellowship at the Springfield Church at 4:30 this afternoon. And so you're invited to come and to worship together and to have some fellowship and community, and there will also be a time of conversation as well where you can share any thoughts or questions or comments you might have, and we'll have an opportunity to do that. So we're hoping it will be a little bit of like a mini camp meeting experience. There might not be prono pups there, but it should still be a blessed time together. And so I want to make sure you know about that and to know that you're invited. So, we're talking about the power of biblical community in mission, and we're looking at these different concepts. But before we dive in more, let's go ahead and just bow our heads for another word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to be together this morning and to worship you and to praise you for all your goodness in our lives. And I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today. Hide me behind the cross, give me your words to speak, and help us to all be drawn closer to you today. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, over these last few years, it's been a challenge, hasn't it, to have community, right? We've been going through some challenges in the whole world, really, with the pandemic. You have things like social distancing and isolation, and people have been struggling to really find community. And do you think community is important? Yeah, I think so. I think community is important. And so it's this big challenge when we can't experience community or when we don't experience community in our lives. And so I want you to take a minute to think about what life is like when you don't have community. These are a few ideas that I wrote down. When you don't have community, you can struggle with loneliness and isolation. And we saw that a lot during the pandemic. I know I struggled with that personally. I hit a certain point where I'm like, I just need people. And so that can be a challenge if you don't have community. A lack of support, limited personal growth, missed opportunities, a reduced sense of belonging, and even diminished resilience. And the list could go on, I'm sure, of challenges that we face when we don't have community in our lives. So I want to ask you, when you think about community, what comes to your mind? It's not a rhetorical question. You can go ahead and answer. You can just shout it out. You don't need a microphone. That's okay. What comes to your mind when you hear the word community? Is there a certain word or a certain phrase that comes to your mind when you think of community? What makes community? Anyone?
Church.
A church, okay, yeah. A church is a type of community. It's a great place for community. Very good. Anyone else?
Family.
Family, yes, definitely.
Love.
Love, absolutely.
Needs,
okay.
Neighbors.
Neighbors, yes. Good.
Belonging,
yeah, that's a good one as well. Yes.
Food,
okay. Now we're talking, right? Yes, something about eating a meal together creates community, right? So you guys got some great ideas. I put some other ideas down as well. You mentioned some of them already. You know, connection, relationship, support, togetherness, unity, neighborhood, being in groups or being a part of at least a group, and experiencing bonding and collaboration, networking, sharing, inclusion, belonging. We talked about that. Teamwork. These are some of the ideas that we can think about when we think of community. And these are all great ideas, great thoughts, great concepts for us to experience in our hearts and in our lives. So now I want to ask you another question. What comes to your mind when you hear the word mission? What idea, what word or phrase do you think of when you hear the word mission? Anyone? Healthy? Okay. Very good. Yes.
Healthy.
Helping. Okay. It's healthy to be helping. That's good. Anyone else?
Purpose,
yes. What was that?
Money.
Money? Okay. All right, yeah. We need money to fund the mission, I suppose, yep. Anyone else?
Faith.
Faith, yes. Yeah. A goal, compassion?
Teamwork.
Teamwork? Yeah, awesome. Do you think that there is a connection between community and mission? Yeah, I think so. We're going to unpack that a little bit. Here's some ideas. Again, you guys mentioned some of them already. When I thought of mission, purpose, a goal, having an objective, a task, a calling, a vision, a ministry, a service, a commitment, outreach, evangelism, discipleship. Of course, I'm very passionate about outreach, being the outreach ministries director here in Oregon. And so I think about these things, of course. When I think about mission, I think about the need to reach out and the great commission that we have as believers. And so we have these two different ideas. We're talking about mission, we're talking about community, but today we're also going to be looking at this idea that when you put these two elements together, there's power. There's power in community and mission together, and we're going to look at that. So one of the first ideas I want you to think about this morning is the fact that you were created for community. Did you know that? You were created for community. We see all the way back in the book of Genesis, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who's just right for him." And so we see that even from the very beginning, that mankind was created to be together, was created to not be alone, but created for community. And in fact, we're told in the book Patriarchs and Prophets that man was not made to dwell in solitude. He was to be a social being. Without companionship, the beautiful scenes and delightful employments of Eden, that's the Garden of Eden, would have failed to yield perfect happiness. Even communion with angels could not have satisfied his desire for sympathy and companionship. There was none of the same nature to love and to be loved. Isn't that amazing? Even having the companionship of angels was not enough to satisfy the longing that God has placed in us for community with one another. And of course, we see in the passage in Ecclesiastes this idea of the power of community and our need and how God created us for community. We see that being unpacked a little bit more when it says that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's powerful, isn't it? That there's a power in community. There's a power in being together that we just simply don't have when we are alone. So we need to keep that in mind. And what's amazing is that as you look throughout Scripture, you see these examples of God's desire, His design for us to be in community. And so we saw already from the very beginning that God created us for community. And then we see also that the nation of Israel was supposed to be a mission-focused community. As you look in the Old Testament, you see this idea that God's people were not just intended to be a community, they were also intended to be about mission. They had a mission, and God wanted them to fulfill this mission. Isaiah 42 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And to make it even more clear, we see in a quote here from Testimonies for the Church that says, God desired to make of his people, Israel, a praise and a glory. Every spiritual advantage was given them. God withheld from them nothing favorable to the formation of character that would make them representatives of himself. And so God's desire for his people, we're seeing here, is that they would be representatives of himself to the world. That's mission, isn't it? And so we see this power. We begin to see this power as we look throughout Scripture of community, yes, but also mission, and especially when you have a community that's all about mission. And there's a special power in that. We see in Prophets and Kings, it says it was God's purpose that by the revelation of his character through Israel, men should be drawn unto him. To all the world, the gospel invitation was to be given. Isn't that incredible? So what is God's desire for his people, for his community? He desires them, he desires us to be representatives of himself and to be a light to the world and to share God's love and his character to all the nations, right? We're going to talk more about that mission here in a bit. And so God designs for us to be together. We looked at that. We also are now looking at this idea that God also wants us to be all about mission. And I believe that God loves us and he wants us to be in community because there's value in that for us. And we've seen some of those ideas already. He also wants us to be about mission because we talked about what life is like when you don't have community and how that can lead to loneliness and isolation and lack of support and a reduced sense of belonging, missed opportunities. We talked about all that. But what is life like when you don't have mission? Have you thought about that? Maybe as you think about your own life today, you might be struggling with a lack of purpose in your life. We all need purpose in life. We all need a mission. And when we don't have a mission, we don't have purpose in life, we end up drifting. There's this concept called drift. We drift through life and we just live one day to the next. And before we know it, we may even end up somewhere where we never even intended to be. We never planned to be there. And we wake up one day and we ask ourselves, how did I get here? Has it ever happened to you before? And so God, I believe, loves you and cares for you. I believe he has a special calling on your life. He has a special mission for your life. And he does not want you to live without mission. And so God desires for you to be together in community. And God desires for you to live your life in mission. As we continue to look throughout Scripture, we see this model of community and mission together. We already talked about Israel briefly, and then now we can also look at the early church. You look all throughout the book of Acts, and you see an example of community and mission, don't you? And so we see that the early church was a mission-focused community. Now, do you think God wants this church to be a mission-focused community? Amen. I believe so. I believe that's God's desire for every one of his churches, to be a mission-focused community. And so, as we talk about mission, of course, we have to look at Matthew 28, when Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so we see that this is the mission that Jesus gave to his followers, to make disciples. Now, can you make disciples without community? That'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? You see, God's a relational God, and He wants us to fulfill this mission in the context of relationships. And so we see that Jesus gave this great commission to His followers, to His disciples, and then we can ask the question, well, how did His followers carry out that mission in the early church? And we see this, Acts chapter 2 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And notice fellowship, that's a key community word, right? And the breaking of bread, who mentioned food, right? We talked about that. There you go, yep. We see that as biblical, right? Amen? The breaking of bread and in prayers. We need prayer. Prayer is powerful in community, powerful in mission. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so this is an intense example of what a community looked like here for the early church in their context to be all about mission. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. You see, when God's people respond to His call to become a community, and when God's people respond to His call to be all about mission, God will bless in amazing ways. And that's what we see here in the book of Acts. There was a community. They became a community. They became all about mission. And as they lived out God's ideal for their lives as a community, God blessed in tremendous ways to the point where daily people were being added to the church. People were joining the community. People were saying, wow, there's so much value here. This is so exciting. We want to be part of a community like this. How can we sign up for this? And every day, people were signing up to be part of this community. Can you imagine if that was the case here for the Sutherland Church? Can you imagine if every day we had to have the leaders out and the people out here every day looking at the doors because people were knocking on the door saying, hey, can we join this community? Because we've heard there's so much value here. We want to be part of a community like that. Can you imagine what it would look like today for every day for people to be added to the church? And of course, we know that small groups was a key as well as they met, you know, from house to house and these kinds of things. And so I just believe there's so much power in community. And so we're talking about that. Acts 1 verse 8 tells us also where this power comes from. It says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Did you know that God wants you to be His witness? Now what does it mean to be a witness? I tell this story often, but my wife and I lived in Florida. I used to be a pastor there in the Florida Conference, and we were in the Orlando area. We were on our way to a doctor appointment for our oldest child, and as we were on our way to the doctor, we noticed that there was a vehicle that began to swerve into our lane. And this vehicle ended up missing our car by about a foot. It missed the car behind us by probably about 2 inches, and unfortunately it struck the car, two cars behind us, an ugly head-on collision. And we were very shocked to see all this happen right before our eyes. After that car passed me, I began looking in my rearview mirror, and I saw everything as it struck the car, two vehicles behind us. And I was thankful that the authorities were quick to arrive on the scene and to render aid and help. But I decided that day to stay by and to do something called making a witness statement. I was able to make a witness statement and tell them exactly what I had seen and exactly what happened according to my experience. And now let me ask you a question. Hypothetically speaking, if I was running just 5 minutes behind schedule that day, and when we were driving down that very same road, instead of actually seeing the accident happen, let's say it already happened before I got there, and let's say the emergency vehicles were already there, would I have been able to speak to the authorities and make a witness statement? No. Why not? Because I didn't see it happen. I didn't experience it for myself, right? And so to be a witness means for you to have a first-hand experience with Jesus. to have a firsthand encounter with Jesus, and then to share that encounter with others, and to invite others to know about Jesus and to experience Jesus. Who here can tell me what the mission of your Oregon conference is? Anyone? It's okay if you can't tell me. I put you on the spot here. The mission of your Oregon conference, church, the mission of the church here in the Oregon conference is it's all about Jesus. Did you know that? It's all about Jesus. And there's a little tagline that we love to talk about, and that's knowing, loving, serving, and sharing. So we believe that we ought to be all about Jesus. That's our mission, to be all about Jesus. It's all about knowing Jesus. It's all about loving Jesus. It's all about serving Jesus. And it's all about sharing Jesus with others. And to understand this better, I want to invite you to turn with me in God's Word. I don't have this on the screen, so you got to get your Bibles out or your phones or your tablets or whatever you have God's Word with you. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. We're going to be looking at 1 John, and this is one of my favorite passages when we look at this idea of community and mission. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. We're starting in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. And notice very carefully what it says. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now notice here in 1 John 1, is this saying, you know, we heard about Jesus, we don't really know for sure, but we've heard he's a good idea, you might want to think about it. Is that what it's saying? No. They're saying, we know, right? We've had this firsthand encounter. We've heard, we've seen, we've looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, who's the word of life? Jesus, right? And it continues, 1 John 1, verse 2. The life was manifested, that means revealed, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have, there's that key word, fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. Now catch this, how this ends. I don't want you to miss it. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Isn't that incredible? So what this passage is saying here, what they're saying here is, you know, we have had this fellowship. We have entered into community with the Father and with His Son Jesus. And being in community with the Father, being in a relationship with Jesus, has given us so much joy. It's filled our hearts with so much peace and so much love. And there's just so much value here in a relationship with Jesus. And we just can't keep it to ourselves. And so we want to invite you to also come and enter into the same fellowship so that your joy also may be full. Isn't that powerful? This is evangelism, right? I like to say that evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. See, evangelism is not about us and them. Evangelism is not about us having the truth and being better than other people. No, evangelism is about us. Having the mission is all about us being in a relationship with Jesus and experiencing the value that He has for us in community, in fellowship with Him, and then being in a shared community with one another and inviting others to enter into this experience that we have, where it's all about Jesus. Amen. That's what it means to be a community that is all about mission. And so, Jesus wants us to be a mission-focused community today. Do you believe that? Hebrews 10, verse 25. Mark read this for us already. This is the scripture reading for today. It says, let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Now, I find it interesting that it says, as some people do. Do some people neglect meeting together? Yes, some people do. You know, you have different personalities. You know, some people are more introverted, or maybe have a harder time being around people, or maybe especially post-COVID, some people learned, well, hey, I actually don't have to go to church. I can just stay at my home and I can watch online. And I can just watch the live stream or the broadcast. And then, you know, some people get comfortable at home watching. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about online ministry. I'm all about us being able to broadcast our services so others can be blessed. Praise God for that. I'm not being critical of that at all. I'm a big believer in that. But is watching online, is that church? No. And I get it. There are unique circumstances. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying, generally speaking, if we are at home by ourselves watching online, is that experiencing community? No. It's hard to experience community that way, right? And so, God says, don't neglect meeting together. And why? Because there's so much value in store for you. And we've been talking about that. God says, I don't want you to be alone. I want your social and relational needs to be met. That's why I've given you this thing called church. I've given you this opportunity to experience community. So he says, don't neglect meeting together. Because when you come together, you can encourage one another. He says, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming soon? Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. And the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus, we're told here, the greater our need is of being together. The greater our need is for being together and for being all about mission. I love this quote from Minister of Healing. It says, no other influence that can surround the human soul has such power. Talking about power, right? No other influence can have such power as the influence of an unselfish Christian. The strongest argument in favor of the gospel is end time events. Is that what it says? This is the strongest argument in favor of the gospel is the 2300 day prophecy. Is that what it says? No, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting these things down, but let's get first things first, right? The strongest argument in favor of the gospel is what? A loving and lovable Christian. Isn't that powerful? Yes, these other things matter. But the strongest argument is a loving and lovable Christian. And so God wants us to be all about Him. He wants us to be communities that are experiencing fellowship with Jesus and communities that are inviting others to join that experience. To be loving and lovable Christians. So I want to wrap up this morning by sharing a story with you of a church that I had the privilege of pastoring. And this was, again, when I was in the Orlando area. And when I arrived to this church, they told me something. They said, Pastor, before you got here, we had one outreach initiative, but we decided to close it down. Because the people that were in charge of it, you know, they moved away, and so we shut it down, and so, you know, we don't really have anything going on to reach our community. So, okay, you know, tell me more about that. Now, do you think that's what I wanted to hear as the pastor, the incoming pastor? No. But I said, that's okay, and so I said, let's get together, let's pray about this, let's talk about this, let's seek God's will together as a community. And I shared with them, I said, you know, as the pastor, I don't have any kind of edge on hearing God's voice. You know, I said, yes, let's come together as a community. Let's seek God's will together. And so that's what we did. We met together. We began praying together and seeking God's will and having conversations about this. And as we began to do that, suddenly some direction began to emerge. We began to hear God's voice. And one gentleman in particular, he was one of the deacons, I remember. He stepped forward and he said, you know, I feel God placing a burden on my heart that we ought to be giving food to our community. That there is a big need in our neighborhoods for food. And people are hungry and they can't afford to put food on their table. We ought to be providing something for that. We ought to be giving some food. And so we began to talk about that, but of course some others came forward and they said, oh, well, you know, we can't afford that. That's not in the church budget. And we don't have the volunteers for that. So there's just no way we could do that. Now let me ask you, is God limited by the local church budget? No. Is God limited by the number of volunteers in the church? No. And so we said, well, let's just keep praying about it and see how God leads. And so we began to do that. We began to keep praying about it. And it was just a few days after we began to start praying about it that I received a phone call. And it was from a gentleman that was a truck driver. And he told me, he said, Every week I take a load of food from Michigan to Florida, right by where your church is. And often there is a mistake in the order. He says, I don't understand it all, but all I know is that often there's extra food, and my superiors have told me, oh, just throw it away. You know, we don't have time to worry about that. Just get rid of it. And he said, as I was receiving these instructions, I just felt impressed that just maybe there's a church in this area that could use some food to bless their community with. And he said, as I was looking at the area, you're the first church that I called to see if you might have any use for some food. Amen. Praise the Lord, huh? And of course, I said, absolutely. And I began to share with him how this is something that we've been actually praying about. And he said, great. He said, well, meet me around the corner where I drop off the food, and I will share with you what I have. And so literally it was about 5 minutes after I got off the phone with him, I found myself loading my vehicle with food. And I don't think I've ever seen that car ride so low. It was just packed with food, and I was able to take that back to the church, and that was the birth of our food ministry for our community. And the very first day that we opened that ministry, hundreds of families came by to receive that blessing. And praise the Lord that this ministry is still an active ministry to this very day, ministering to hundreds of families in their community. And God's blessed that community in amazing ways where, you know, they've been praying with those families, and Bible studies have come out of it, and people have made decisions for Jesus. And you know the biggest problem that I had here at this church, by the time I left that church, there wasn't enough room for everybody who wanted to be there. Amen. How many of you would like to have that problem here at this church? Amen. Amen. And so I share this story with you as an example of what God can do when a community comes together and they seek God's will together and they become all about Jesus and all about mission. Just like the early church, others said, we want to be part of a community like this. And so this morning, as we prepare to sing our closing song, I wanted to just give you an opportunity to respond to the message. Maybe as you've been and people are hungry and they can't afford to put food on their table, we ought to be providing something for that. We ought to be giving some food. And so we began to talk about that, but of course some others came forward and they said, oh, well, you know, we can't afford that. That's not in the church budget. And we don't have the volunteers for that. So there's just no way we could do that. Now let me ask you, is God limited by the local church budget? No. Is God limited by the number of volunteers in the church? No. And so we said, well, let's just keep praying about it and see how God leads. And so we began to do that. We began to keep praying about it. And it was just a few days after we began to start praying about it that I received a phone call. And it was from a gentleman that was a truck driver. And he told me, he said, Every week I take a load of food from Michigan to Florida, right by where your church is. And often there is a mistake in the order. He says, I don't understand it all, but all I know is that often there's extra food, and my superiors have told me, oh, just throw it away. You know, we don't have time to worry about that. Just get rid of it. And he said, as I was receiving these instructions, I just felt impressed that just maybe there's a church in this area that could use some food to bless their community with. And he said, as I was looking at the area, you're the first church that I called to see if you might have any use for some food. Amen. Praise the Lord, huh? And of course, I said, absolutely. And I began to share with him how this is something that we've been actually praying about. And he said, great. He said, well, meet me around the corner where I drop off the food, and I will share with you what I have. And so literally it was about 5 minutes after I got off the phone with him, I found myself loading my vehicle with food. And I don't think I've ever seen that car ride so low. It was just packed with food. And I was able to take that back to the church. And that was the birth of our food ministry for our community. And the very first day that we opened that ministry, hundreds of families came by to receive that blessing. And praise the Lord that this ministry is still an active ministry to this very day, ministering to hundreds of families in their community. And God's blessed that community in amazing ways where, you know, they've been praying with those families and Bible studies have come out of it and people have made decisions for Jesus. And you know the biggest problem that I had here at this church, by the time I left that church, there wasn't enough room for everybody who wanted to be there. Amen. How many of you would like to have that problem here at this church? Amen. Amen. And so I share this story with you as an example of what God can do when a community comes together and they seek God's will together and they become all about Jesus and all about mission. Just like the early church, others said, we want to be part of a community like this. And so this morning, as we prepare to sing our closing song, I wanted to just give you an opportunity to respond to the message. Maybe as you've been hearing about the importance of community, you've been thinking about your own life and where you're at in your own journey, and you realize that maybe you've been struggling with loneliness, maybe you've been struggling with anxiety or depression, and maybe you realize that you've been looking to yourself and not to others. You've become dependent on yourself, but not really engaged in the community. And maybe today you want to make a decision to say, I need more community in my life. I'm going to invite you to make that decision this morning. Or maybe as you've been thinking about your life, you realize that you've lacked mission in your life. That you've just been drifting one day to the next and not really focused on seeking God's will for your life. Or maybe today you want to make a decision to live for Jesus in the context of community. And so if you want to respond to the message this morning and say, Lord, I need community in my life. I need your mission in my life. Or if you want to say, I want to live in community for mission, I just invite you to raise your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have our closing song now. And as we sing our closing song, I want to invite you to allow your heart to go out to God in prayer. And then we will have a special prayer together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts go out to you this morning in response to your word and in response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And our request is for you to live out your life within us. Amen. Our desire is to accept the gift of community that you offer us. Our desire is to accept the gift of mission that you desire for us today. And we're so thankful that you care about us so much. You don't want us to be drifting through this life without an aim or a purpose or a mission. You don't want us to be all alone, living in isolation and loneliness. No, you have something better. You offer community. You offer mission. And so we want to make a decision today. And so as our hearts go out to you, I ask that you would seal each one's decision to live in community, to live for mission, and to live in community for mission. We love you so much, and we thank you for answering this prayer. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.